Thank you for listening to English with Monty. For bonus episodes, to test your English grammar, book a free 30-minute trial lesson, or to access our conversation group in London, go to linktree.ee/EnglishwithMonty. linktr.ee/EnglishwithMonty. Talking about prefixes and suffixes. Hello there and welcome to English with Monty. We're moving on to episode number 56 and I have Gideon eating kimchi. Hi, Gideon.
How did you know, John? Hello, how are you?
I'm well. You told me that in Seoul, where you are now, yeah, they eat kimchi for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Is that right?
They do. They love their kimchi. I didn't mean that in a good way, not in a bad way. Wonderful stuff. Fermented cabbage, very healthy. Spicy fermented cabbage, very healthy as well. I'm in Seoul at the moment.
You're a Seoul man.
Exactly. Lovely city.
Some Korean students have told me they even have kimchi fridges.
I think so. My hotel, I don't have a kimchi fridge.
You don't? That's disappointing.
So I believe that's true. And they leave big ceramic pots outside their houses where they ferment vegetables.
Oh, really?
That's a traditional way. I think in apartment blocks, you can't do that. Maybe you can on the balcony. But it's very interesting. It's just a different culture.
That is very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I get quite a few Korean students at my conversation group, and they're very lovely people. I would like to visit myself.
Can I tell you a very little anecdote today?
Of course, yes.
I was walking down the street. It was raining. I didn't have an umbrella. And I was standing at the crossroads. The lights were red. And they read a long time here. And a complete stranger stood next to me and held his umbrella over me to cover me, to stop me getting wet.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
He didn't speak any English. I just looked at him. He looked at me and go, this is very kind.
That was very kind, wasn't it? Perhaps he knew that you were famous.
I don't think so. He didn't speak a word of English.
Perhaps he saw you on the auditions for BTS, right?
Possibly. Possibly that. I was wondering if I did that in London, what the reaction would be. What reaction would I get if I went to a total stranger and shared my umbrella with them? They probably thought maybe I shouldn't be too negative about London. It's my own city. I just wonder what the response would be.
Be interesting. Perhaps in North Finchley, you'd get looked at strange. I don't know, to be honest. I think it probably depends on person, doesn't it, really?
I think in London, if I did that, I might say something first. I say, hey, you look like you're getting wet. Do you want to share the umbrella? But I wouldn't like just come over and hold the umbrella over. But maybe he didn't speak any English, so maybe that's why. He didn't speak any Korean. I know, thank you. Kamsahamnida.
Sounds like good pronunciation as well.
I don't know.
I'm excited actually to hear about Korea, but this episode is not about Korea. I should say South Korea, shouldn't I, really?
Career advice. I thought you were going to do an episode on career advice.
Oh, wow. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it? I should have linked into that.
Maybe you should scrap your plans for what you had in mind and just do career opportunities.
Yeah, what would that involve?
Go ahead with the grammar.
We'll go ahead with the grammar. Okay.
I can hardly call myself an expert after days in Seoul.
I guess not. Not even an expert kimchi eater. Today, we're going to do an episode on prefixes and suffixes. I think probably listeners would know what a prefix or a suffix is, but just in case they don't, would you like to tell everybody what is a prefix and what is a suffix and why do they matter?
Prefix goes before a word and it sort of changes the meaning. Could be something to the opposite. For example, interested. If you wanted to say the opposite of that, you say uninterested. I think most listeners will understand that, so I won't explain more. And a suffix goes at the end. And again, it might change the meaning. You can turn an adjective into a noun by adding a suffix.
Adjective into a noun, for example, happy.
Yes, exactly. Happy.
Happiness. I suppose with that one, you just got to be a little bit careful because you've got to change the Y to the I. Otherwise,
exactly.
It's the same word, isn't it?
Intelligent. Intelligence. I don't think it needs that much more explanation. I'm sure most listeners have an idea what a suffix is or a prefix.
I think so. But I think the reason why I thought I would do it as an episode is because I've recently been doing some of these exercises with a few students and they're getting a little bit confused by it, or there are outliers. So there are things that people don't expect.
They are complicated, very complicated. And I think even native speakers, we often make mistakes with prefixes and suffixes.
I guess we do, don't we? Maybe it's worth talking about those then first of all. What things do we often make mistakes on as native speakers? There's probably going to be a lot of similarities, aren't there, with English learners, I imagine.
Well, a common one is uninterested and disinterested, which mean different things.
Oh, yeah, that's a good starting point.
So that's a very common mistake made by native speakers. It's so common that maybe, you know, you let it pass these days. But the traditional rules, so I'll give you the traditional rules. I'm interested in this, learning about Korean culture. Yeah, I'm very interested in this. But if I wanted to say I'm not, I'd say I'm uninterested. I'm sure you know that. But what about disinterested? Disinterested. You know disinterested, John?
I do know the word, yes. Trying to think how to explain it. I mean, how would you explain disinterested?
So this, it means that you're unbiased in a way. So, for example, a judge in a case should be disinterested. He shouldn't show favor to one side or the other.
How is that different to unbiased?
Well, it's a synonym of unbiased.
Okay.
It means putting aside all your biases. You're disinterested, putting it aside. But you wouldn't say a referee is disinterested. You say the referee's unbiased. But when decisions have to be made, you have to be disinterested. I think a judge is a good example of that. Somebody making decision based on a relationship with two people.
Because I suppose in that context, it means that you don't have a vested interest, right?
Yeah.
I guess a vested interest is something that will influence your opinion, isn't it? Because then you're connected in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good starting point. Have you got any others in mind that you think native speakers would make mistakes with? I'm just trying to think myself.
I think sometimes un and in, undescribable or indescribable. I think native speakers would often get those mixed up sometimes, or im and in. Sometimes are very similar.
I suppose with in and im, the only real rule on that one, I suppose, if it's im, as in I am for mother, that would be with a P next. Is it a rule?
Well, IMP.
Yes. That's usually the
impossible
case, isn't it? Impossible, impatient, impersonal. Okay. Is it a rule?
I don't know.
But it's normally the case, isn't it? I don't know whether there are exceptions. I'm guessing there might be some exceptions.
Is it impatient or inpatient?
Im.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because inpatient is somebody who goes into a hospital, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Maybe, I am an inpatient.
Input.
Oh, yeah, that's an exception. Well, also, there'd be an M as well, because this was another thing that I was going through with one of my students. In fact, Manuel from Colombia, he's done shout outs on the podcast and very kindly tells everybody in Colombia about it. Hi, Manuel. He knows that we've done this lesson recently. And also with an M. So you'd say immodest, immovable. Yeah. Those are two with the IM where it's quite frequent. So it's either a P or an M, isn't it? Really? I mean, it's not a hard and fast rule, is it?
I don't have all the rules for suffixes, actually. I think maybe it's just there's so many rules. It's not something you can learn just by memorizing them. You've just got to use the words, use the vocabulary, and you get it that way.
But there are small patterns, aren't they? So
there
I
are patterns.
That would be one of the patterns. So im with a P, so impossible. Im with an M, so immodest, immovable. And then you've got things like with an L, so illiterate. I guess that is fairly consistent as well, isn't it? Illegible, illegal. All of those are kind of following on with the double L, aren't they? I'm sure there are some exceptions. Illogical is another one. illiterate. I think I've done that one. And also with an R, so that could be another one that is not always the case, but most of the time. So irregular, irreplaceable.
Irrelevant.
Irrefutable.
Mm-hmm.
There was one example that we came across which doesn't fit that. So that's disreputable.
Oh, okay.
So that's one that's it's not irreputable.
And sometimes pronunciation changes as well. One of the most famous, one of the most commonly mispronounced words. You are famous and you want to change the meaning by putting I-N, and you'd think it's going to be infamous, but it's not. It's infamous. And yeah, also that... infamous is not the same meaning as not famous. Infamous is not the opposite of famous.
What does it mean?
It means famous for doing something bad or disreputable.
We're using disreputable there as well, so that gives a good indication of what that means. I'm afraid my example was Pablo Escobar when I did it with Manuel.
The infamous Pablo Escobar, yeah. When you think about it, then famous doesn't have a negative. Not famous, you just say not famous.
That's true, isn't it? Didn't think about that.
I mean, not all words have negatives. The opposite of vegetarian is not unvegetarian.
It's meat eater, isn't it?
Yes.
Or something like that. Flexitarian,
yes.
Vegan.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying you can't just put one of these negative prefixes before a word and hope it's correct. I think that, here I'm going on one of my Shakespeare diversions here. Shakespeare used some of these words for the first time. One of the words that Shakespeare gave us was uncomfortable, from Romeo and Juliet. Uncomfortable time, why camest thou now?
So that was so, when Romeo arrived, was it? Juliet was feeling uncomfortable. Is that right?
I don't know, John, something like that. What I do know is that I can't think of any others, but I know that Shakespeare did use some prefixes. He invented some words with prefixes that weren't used before.
Wow.
Go into that another time.
We can do a Shakespeare episode, which we keep threatening to do, and we haven't done it yet. That can be done at some point. We can put that in it.
Yeah. While you were faffing about, I just Googled it and I found another of a suffix invented by Shakespeare. Not the suffix itself, but a word containing suffix. And that's eventful.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Another one by Shakespeare.
Great. They're both very useful words, aren't they? They're good to know.
Yeah, everyday words.
And people can reference it and then they can sound intelligent.
Exactly.
The prefix as well. So we've kind of focused on the opposite meaning, but I guess as well we can say a negative, can't we? For example, antisocial or non, as in non-profit. Those are two examples being the negative. The other ones that we've kind of been looking at have been the opposite, haven't they, really?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to test you a little bit. I'm going to challenge you to do some sentences with suffixes. I might throw in a couple of potential prefixes as well, just to throw you off your guard. The idea is for me to put that in there, put the word in there, and then you have to give the suffix, but you have to create a sentence using that word with its suffix.
Mm-hmm.
You
not
ready?
Really, but so let's try.
Let's see how it goes. It could be amazing.
Sorry, John, did you say something?
You heard me perfectly clearly.
So I was just getting some kimchi out of my kimchi fridge.
Oh, you mean that kimchi fridge that you said you didn't have?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be too worried. Maybe take a sip of beer before you start, just in case.
Is it soju they drink here?
Isn't it soju?
Maybe your Korean's better than me.
I might be wrong. Let me give you the first word. Yeah. Is it clear what you're doing, by the way?
No, but go ahead.
Okay, arrange.
I have to put a suffix.
Yes, but you have to create a sentence using that word with the suffix.
Okay. Do you like my arrangement of kimchi's in the fridge? There's no S on the floor.
I think there's probably no S, is there? But your kimchi.
Different types of kimchi. My arrangement of different types of kimchi.
Yeah, it's very nicely arranged. It looks good next to your flower arrangement as well.
I was thinking flowers, but that's too obvious.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. As I'm in Korea, I thought I'd try and add some local flavor to it, literally.
It is interesting how your local flavor just seems to involve kimchi, but
yeah, okay. Think
clearly
of something
we
else.
Know how you've been spending your time. Next one, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, race.
Race. R-A-C-E.
Yeah.
Racism. Racism is not something that we should tolerate.
Excellent. I like that one. Very good. Okay. Sad.
When I couldn't get tickets to the BTS concert, I just felt such sadness.
Well, because they're being conscripted at the moment, aren't they? They're in an army barracks, so that's probably why.
Yeah, I think so. I see you're up to date on all the gossip about BTS, John.
Yeah, I know everything. You wanted to do auditions, didn't you? But you couldn't get in touch with them, and that's why, because they're out at 5 o'clock in the morning doing runs around mountains and stuff like that.
They didn't want me to join BTS. I tried Blackpink as well, but they said no.
Not yet. Keep trying.
Okay. I have to set up my own Korean pop band with you, John.
That's going to work really well, considering neither of us are Korean or have any musical talent. But yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I dare to say we're also a bit old for that as well.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm a young whippersnapper. I can definitely do some athletic dance moves.
You know. Exactly.
Friend?
Okay, I made some lasting friendships during my time in Korea.
Oh, lovely. Direct.
Direct. Is shun a suffix?
Oh, I suppose it is.
Does that count?
That counts, doesn't it? Yeah, I suppose so.
Excuse me, madam. Could you point me in the direction of Gangnam?
Indeed. You could say, I prefer One Direction to BTS. Probably not a good thing to say, though.
I could say that. That's not really using the word. That's just a name.
That's a good point.
Say that, doesn't
it? Yeah, that's a good point. Educate?
I went to the Korea National Museum and it was very educational.
Oh, you've added a little extra on there, but I like that. I was looking for education, but educational is good, yeah. Those were all kind of nouns mostly, except for that last one. Common suffixes for verbs are normally ate, so create, activate, and then iffy, so verify and solidify. And then you've got eyes, so authorize or categorize. Authorize or categorize, how would we spell that in Britain? Does it matter? And how would we spell it?
This is an interesting point because I think I'm a bit of an outlier. So I know the traditional way is with an S, but I kind of like Zs. Well, I sometimes use a Z, even though perhaps I shouldn't, and I'm British, not American. What does it all mean?
It's a curious one, isn't it? I think a lot of the time nowadays in Britain, we do use the Z.
I mean, recognize with an S?
Yes,
really?
True, isn't it?
And it's got a Z sound. It's like recognizing. So for me, I like the Z. I don't know if it makes me a bad person.
No, it doesn't.
Categorized. It sounds like a Z, so I put a Z.
I would say, though, that most British people would probably do that nowadays, right?
And even British people, size, spelled S-I-Z-E, not S-I-S-E, by logical extension, recognize, categorize, authorize. I think some British people wouldn't like it when you're spelling with an S. And even I think my Google spell checker tells me I'm doing it wrongly, but I ignore it.
Honestly, I think nowadays, though, the majority of people...
And you?
I'm the same. I think the majority of people in Britain wouldn't actually really know the difference.
You think so?
I think nowadays, I think it's used so much, usually with the Z, isn't it, that we don't really see a difference. Nowadays, it's one of those things that has come over from America. And as you said, I mean, it makes no sense, right? Why is size with a Z and then authorizes with an S? That does make no sense, does it really? I think speakers should do the same or not be too worried about it.
I should say for most things, for almost everything, I write the British way, okay? Bigly and I say schedule, I don't say schedule. I'll write Carla with a U and center R-E. But this, I think, is an exception. It just feels more logical to write a Z-sounding word with a Z. So I've ended up doing it, well, most of the time. I think probably I'm inconsistent.
I agree. It wasn't because of Matt Damon's influence, was it?
Maybe. Prize. That's another one. We say P-R-I-Z-E. Categorize is supposed to be an S. No.
Well, no, it's fair enough. I absolutely agree with you.
Okay, good. It's a rare event.
It actually happens every 10.2 episodes when we agree.
Is that right?
Statistically, yeah.
Okay.
We'll finish off then with common suffixes for adjectives. So I'm going to carry on with the same idea because you seem to be loving it. Rely.
Only a suffix then.
That's what I was looking for. But if you do come up with a prefix, I'm not going to delete it from the episode.
The Korea Metro is famous for its reliability.
Great. I was potentially looking for reliable, but reliability the is... They only got one.
What do you mean, one?
The Seoul Metro that they have.
Okay, yeah, very good.
Reliability, reliable. Accident?
Are you thinking accidental?
Ooh, yes, there we go.
What about an adverb? Accidentally?
Oh, I like that.
I accidentally fell down the escalator on the Seoul Metro.
That doesn't sound very good. Are you okay?
I'm okay now.
You accidentally opened somebody else's kimchi fridge.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Wonder.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wunderbar. Does that count?
I don't know. Does that count?
I'm having a wonderful time with you now, John. I'm having a wonderful time with
that's
John.
That's so
now.
Nice.
I was having a wonderful time rearranging my kimchi fridge, but this is even better. I didn't think it could get better than that.
Indeed, yeah. Danger.
Food here is very spicy. People say it's dangerous.
How is it dangerous?
Because it's so spicy that you might get all spiced up and end up in the hospital.
Does that happen?
The spice hospital in every neighborhood.
Is there one?
I don't know. Just made it up.
They should exist, shouldn't they, really, for foreigners?
They should do.
Not used to the spiciness. Create...
Well, there's more than one. You could creativity.
Okay,
or
I like that one.
Creation.
Creative as well. That could be one.
These Korean dramas are famed for their creativity.
Excellent. I like that. So we've covered more or less most things here. Just to recap, I suppose, with the prefixes, you've got un, unhappy, im, impossible, dis, dissatisfied, ir, irregular, ill, illegal, and that's the opposite meaning. And then you've got a negative meaning, which could be anti, antisocial, non, non-profit. And then with the suffixes, you could say manage, management, race, racism, happy, happiness, friend, friendship, teach, teacher, communicate, communication. We could have create, verify, authorize. And then with the ables, you've got capable, the ALs, you got universal, with the full, you've got wonderful. And you could have nervous as well. Usually OUS, but another one with IOUS. Do you know?
Conscientious.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Or religious could be one as
religious.
Well.
Religious, okay.
And then IV, so sensitive. So there you go. Everybody knows everything now.
Everybody knows everything.
Have you ever done any videos about this kind of subject?
No, not interested. No.
It's an interesting subject, though, isn't it?
It is. I'm joking. But you walked into that. You walked into my joke.
I did. It's true.
No. It is an interesting topic. Actually, I think maybe I haven't because it's quite difficult. You've done it very well, John, I should say. It's quite difficult to cover because it's searching for rules to explain. It's like phrasal verbs. I've done videos listing phrasal verbs. There are so many rules, and whenever you find a rule, you'll find exceptions to the rule. I guess it's like that with prefixes and suffixes.
It is really, isn't it? But hopefully we've covered a few of them, just to say that people will have to just look out for those, because there are those exceptions, aren't there?
Yeah.
Do you want to promote your YouTube channel?
Sure, yeah. Do check out Let Them Talk TV on YouTube. You've got some very interesting videos, grammar, vocabulary, pronunciation, history of English. I'm really into the history of the English language, so I've done a few on that, and more.
I love your history of English ones. I think they're really good.
Thank you so much. More to come on that.
Can you give us a snapshot, or is it top secret?
I can tell you I'm doing one on the Northern Ireland accent.
Ooh.
And there's a lot of history in that involved in that. I didn't realize where it comes from. So I'll be releasing that in a few weeks' time. So we take a deep dive into the history, not only the phonetics, but the history too.
I'm sure by doing these things, you definitely engage people a lot more.
Yeah. Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for joining me, Gideon. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, John. My pleasure's mine.
And enjoy the rest of your kimchi.
I will.
And you've been listening to English with Monty. Thanks for listening to English with Monty. For bonus episodes, sessions with the teacher, and discounts through our website, please sign up at patreon.com/English with Monty. Or you can join us for our English conversation group in London at meetup.com/Monty-English-conversation.